All right, what is going on? My name is Dylan Stojanovic, but you guys, most of you would know me as Tigers News, and I've decided to make a podcast after some careful consideration. I've always kind of like wanted to start one, but I've really thought about it more and more recently, and I decided to start one. I think this is going to be a fun way to, you know, vent about the Tigers. You know, you only can type so much in an Instagram caption. So I think really breaking down and really just elaborating on some of my thoughts and my opinions is going to be pretty enjoyable to do. I plan to have guests, even maybe a co-host in the near future, but I want to get the first one out. So a little about myself. I am 16 years old. I live just outside of Michigan or Detroit, in the suburbs, and I've been a Tigers fan for about 9 years now. This is my 8th season, I believe. I became a fan in the 2012 playoffs. I was 7 years old. My dad took me to the game in the ALDS when the Tigers beat the A's. They beat them on a walk-off sack fly from Don Kelly, and then we went to the ALCS game when they clinched it and eventually to the World Series. So 7-year-old me became a big fan, and then just over time, I've just become a bigger and bigger fan, always kept watching them. And, you know, little 10-year-old me was enjoying myself when the Tigers win their golden years, you know, winning 90 games, signing big names, getting big free agents, or making big trades, you know. So I just became hooked, and even when they started getting bad in the later part of the decade when I finally was starting to become more knowledgeable and Tigers News came into existence, I still just have enjoyed them enough. And I just, over time, you know, Tigers News came into existence, even when they were bad. I really started posting, actually, the first really bad year back when they sold off all the guys in 2017. But you know, I just over time have learned more and more, and I'm at the point now where I think I can, you know, form my own opinions, make some good predictions, and, you know, make a podcast. So really kicking it off, we got to talk about these Tigers, man. How have they been since the All-Star break? They're 6-0, looking like one of the best and hottest teams in baseball, which it's crazy to see how much this team has taken in the strides they've taken just in the last 2 months, but really since 2019, when this team was the worst team in the MLB, losing 114 games compared to now. I mean, this team is 46-51 now, so 5 games under 500, just 1 win shy of their 2019 total. You got to give credit to the coaching staff. I think that's the first thing you have to mention when talking about this team's improvement. AJ Hinch, he's done wonders for this team, not only with just development, but I think one of the more underrated things is he has built a winning culture here. I think these players are playing their asses off. I think they want to win. They want to be here, and then they enjoy being here. And I think they just have set a standard that you need to perform to keep your job. And if you can perform, you're going to stay until you don't. You know what I mean? We've kind of seen these like old 2019 guardy guys, I would say. Honestly, yeah, it's a perfect way to say it. Just the guardy guys, you know, Nico Goodrum, Jacoby Jones, Victor Reyes, Christian Stewart. If for a point in time, but before Victor Reyes was recalled, and Grayson Griner, literally the whole 2019 team was in Toledo. It was pretty funny, to be honest, the whole lineup. But a lot of these guys, they have kind of washed away, and they're getting replaced by guys that are coming up and performing. I think a really good example of that is just like the loud tools from Derek Hill, you know, a speed guy, defense guy. Zach Short, for example. I mean, the Tigers were pretty much they need to address this hole at shortstop, and I probably will go more into this later, but shortstop is a big issue, and he's come in and done semi-well, pretty good defense. He struggles with the routine plays, but he's made some pretty good highlight plays, and, you know, he's hit some home runs. I mean, the Tigers wouldn't have won this game if he didn't hit that 2-run home run. And like Jake Rogers, Eric Haas, and on the pitching side, the pitching is really what has just gotten me so fired up about this team. Casey Mize and Tarik Skubal obviously taking big strides this year. Matt Manning, he's even looked like he's taken a stride since his first couple starts. His slider, I was pretty impressed with a few of them. And, you know, it's kind of a midseason they're developing, and it's not going to be easy, but just the things that Chris Vetter has done for this pitching and just getting maximizing some of these guys' potential, like Kyle Funkhauser. This guy, he was like an afterthought going into the season. He was one of the first names optioned. And honestly, I wasn't too low on Kyle Funkhauser after last year. I know he wasn't anything good, but he wasn't the worst pitcher. But yeah, they seemed like I heard he wasn't in like shape. I guess his mechanics were off, and yeah, he was like one of the first names to be sent down, and now he's coming up pitching in high leverage scenarios. Greg Soto, he's looking like a big time, so much upside with him. He's looked like a closer. Michael Falmer's pitched pretty well at the bullpen, and in like, even like guys like Willie Peralta, just guys are coming up and pitching well. And then like some of these old names are just getting, you know, thrown off. It's less to a degree with the pitching, because the pitching depth is a problem, especially with all these injuries. But like, for example, Buck Farmer, it started a year, you know, he was not good, and he gets DFA'd, even though he's been on this team for forever. I think since like 2014. And I know he's back here now just because of the injuries, but he'll probably be gone going into next year. So, yeah. And then the lineup has even been doing well. I know I talked about some of the guys that have stepped up, but like Grossman and Scope. We're going to talk more about Scope in a second, but just these guys have just come. It feels like everything's coming together, you know? I mean, this team is not just winning, but they're winning with authority now, it feels like. I mean, they had that 14-0 win against Texas. And I know Texas is a bad team, but look, we were a bad team, and we would get easily, you know, these teams in the AL Central were just racking up their win totals against us. And it feels good to be, you know, to be just talent-wise and record-wise better than a team and just physically dominate them. You know, we really did not see that for a long time. So, you know, it's just really exciting. I have to give Alavila credit. Hiring AJ Hinch was definitely the best move of his career. And I forgot to say one thing. Akilba, too, man. He is so good. He's 22 years old and has the highest WAR on the team and is a 125 WRC plus with pretty good defense. As a Rule 5 pick, like, come on now. That was just an amazing story, an amazing pick. So, you know, this team, I'm not the most optimistic guy with the Tigers, and I have my opinions with Alavila and some of these players, but you literally cannot be not optimistic right now with how this team has been. So anyways, I want to go to the trade deadline talk. The trade deadline is really coming up. It's close to midnight right now, and I believe it's going to be July 22nd tomorrow, which I hope to get this podcast episode out. But yeah, we're within reach of the trade deadline, and the Tigers, they got some interesting decisions to make. So previewing the team, I think there's really only two legitimate trade candidates. I think there's some guys that are going to be getting trade interest, like Gregory Soto, but I would not be happy if the Tigers moved Gregory Soto. The reason for that is I just don't think you trade a controllable lefty arm that can throw 100. I mean, how many power arm lefties do you have as relievers that can also throw 100? And his sliders are great. So I think you hold on to him, in my opinion. Jose Cisnero, he's not like the first. Let's talk about Scope first. So Scope, I think the sentiment with the fans is that they want to keep him. And I like Scope. I understand that, obviously. I think he's a fan favorite, and he has been probably our best hitter offensively, him or Grossman. So it would be really tough to trade to get rid of him, you know. But here's my thing about him. He hires Scott Boras as his agent, which clearly tells you that he wants to get paid, and deservingly so. He's put up pretty well good numbers the last 2 years, and he's 29. So this is a legit opportunity for him to make money. So do you? The question is, like, for me, is it worth paying Jonathan Scope $10 million, possibly, if he has a good second half, $10 million a year, for a second baseman that's, you know, about a 100 WRC plus with a 300 on base percentage? And to me, the answer is no. I think you can find a guy like the Tigers did with Scope 2 years ago, just a replaceable guy that on the free agent market. There's so many middle tier guys that are just, they just go under the radar and then they end up being key contributors for their teams. There's so many examples, but I think someone is going to give Scope a pretty good payday. And to me, I think just it isn't worth it for Scope. And I think that's what he's going to want. He's probably going to want a 2 to 3 year deal. And I think the AAV is going to be like $8 to $12 million. Like I think he deserves the money too. He's a really good bat, and he can play second base pretty well and play first base, which is a good thing to have. So that's why I've kind of been on a trade Jonathan Scope train. The return for him, I don't think is going to be anything that anyone will get excited for. You can kind of go three ways with this. You can either go like get yourself a AAA arm that throws, you know, like just like a spot starter type of profile, a reliever profile, or like a, you know, like a Tyler Alexander type of profile. Oh, shoot. For hitters, I mean like a defensive utility guy, like Sergio Alcantara comes to mind, as he's just someone that the Tigers have gotten in the past for a rental. But just guys that, you know, like a Zach Short, someone that, you know, could probably come be on the roster, just but they don't really have much upside, lower floor, those type of guys. Or the Tigers could get like a 17, 18-year-old recently international guy that they think that they have upside, which I would probably like rather have than the AAA type of guy. You know, there's teams, you know, the Tigers might think they have someone, you know, on a different organization that they think that can be a star that, you know, is overshadowed, like a Tatis or Jordan Alvarez story, which obviously that's very rare, but perhaps they could go that route. And then I think the way I would want to do it is get someone that can like come up right away, and you're probably getting a relief arm that could come up right away. But AJ Hinch, he values bullpen, and I think the bullpen is like sneaky good. I saw an example about this, but it makes a lot of sense. You've got your four guys. You get your four guys that can pitch high leverage in Funk, Cisneros, Soto, and Falmer when he's back. And then out after that, it's kind of questionable with a lot of arms that, you know, are foray arms, you know, sometimes show flashes, sometimes don't, like Joe Jimenez, Buck Farmer. Tyler Alexander I like, but again, he's kind of just like a, you know, two multi-inning guy, spot starter type of guy. But again, I think the bullpen lacks depth, and especially in the minors, you really don't have any guys. So I think getting a guy, a reliever that has good stuff, could be a seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, would make a lot of sense for Jonathan Scope. I did a fake trade on my page, which got a little bit of a backlash. A lot of people are on this re-signed Scope trade, and I understand it. Zach Birdie, who's the guy I mocked him for, taking a deep dive into him, fans are probably not going to be happy, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Getting a guy like Zach Birdie, someone that has good stuff, obviously has struggled, but the upside is there, in my opinion. High spin rates on both his fastball and slider. Can touch 100. First round pick. He was a pretty decently touted prospect in the White Sox system before he came up. I think that getting that for Scope, just a chance for a potential, you know, seventh, eighth, even closer type of guy would be great. And again, I trust Chris Vedder a lot, so I see that he likes guys with nice sliders and he likes guys with high spin rates. I say go ahead, you know. Why not take a flyer on a possible late reliever arm, and then you can get some nice prospect capital by getting trading Jose Cisnero, as I think he's kind of in that Shane Green scenario, which in 2019 the Tigers traded Shane Green in exchange for Joey Wentz, and then kind of a throw in with Travis DeMeritt. But Joey Wentz seems like a third, fourth, fifth starter. Really, really good change up. Like at minimum, he's Daniel Norris. So if you can get a solid prospect into the system with Jose Cisnero, I say go ahead. I know some people are going to be against it because Jose Cisnero is a good reliever arm. And I know I was just talking about how you got to value AJ Hinch's bullpen, but a lot of teams need bullpen, and a 32-year-old arm with his value definitely at its peak, you got to pull the plug. The Tigers, really, really conservative. I could talk all day about Alavila and my problems with him, but one of the things that does annoy me is that he doesn't like to take risks, and he can be very conservative at times, and it's come and backfired. I mean, Michael Falmer, Matt Boyd, two times that the Tigers could have gained some significant prospect capital, just washed away with the Tigers' stubbornness. And then like Cisnero, though, I think you definitely have to trade him. He's 32 years old, and like I said, his value is at its highest. I think you can add like a solid 50 FV prospect from Cisnero and probably get some more in return if a team gets pretty desperate. So that's kind of the summary of the trade deadline. Greg Soto, as I mentioned, probably not going to be traded, and I would not want him to. Robbie Grossman, again, another guy I don't think see getting traded. I think they signed him to a two-year deal for a reason. And the timeline with the outfield, it makes a lot of sense. And then no one else I really see being traded. So moving on, let's go to the draft talk. So the Tigers made kind of a surprising decision. They selected Jackson Jobe with the third overall pick. And then they went and signed, they got Ty Madden in the first round with their comp pick, and then they go and grabbed a shortstop named Isaac Pacheco in the second round, got a guy named Dylan Smith in the third round, and they loaded on a bunch of arms. So obviously I'm no scout. I've never seen these guys play, and the only things I really know about these guys is from reading them off of MLB Pipeline and Baseball America, but I'm pretty satisfied with how this draft has gone based on what I've heard. I think Jackson Jobe, taking a high school pitcher is a bad idea, if the Tigers think it's their guy, you take him, you know? I know the history of high school pitchers is awful, and personally, if I was in the chair in a front office, I would probably have passed on Jobe, especially with the mayor there. But if the Tigers like him and want to take a risk, I'm fine with it. One of the things, again, that has annoyed me is the lack of risks and seeing them take a risk. You know, it may not pay off, and it could be a fireable offense, but if they really think they have their guy and if they think they got their guy, they go ahead. And if they get fired, they should be. You know what I mean? You have to trust that you can evaluate talent if you want to be a GM in the MLB, and you got to trust your decision making. So we will have to see. Obviously, Jobe, the player I love, high spin rates on all pitches. His fastball has gone up to 99. His slider is possibly going to be the best slider in the MLB. Even his changeup and his curveball look pretty good. So he looks really polished for his age. There's really nothing like you can really say that's concerning about him. He seems durable. His body seems like he's going to grow into his body, has a projectable frame. So other than him being a high school pitcher, I really don't see anything wrong with the pick, and I'm really excited to see him pitch. Ty Madden in the second round, many people call it a steal. I agree with that. I don't think he's like a top 10 prospect like MLB Pipeline sees him. He has two pitches. He has a lot of reliever risk, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but He looks like someone that could be a really solid pitcher. Again, his fastball and slider look really nice. And if he can just develop a decent third pitch, he can be a pretty damn good starter. And then Pacheco, I like the pick. I heard Cody Stavenhagen and his podcast compare him to Brady House, which actually makes a lot of sense. You know, the Tigers getting their high school shortstop, technically third baseman, though, as it seems like he's going to move to the corner. The hot corner, but it seems it's a risky pick. Obviously, he's got a lot of whiff, he's got a lot of chase, but he's a power bat that can play good defense and possibly be a pretty damn good player in the majors. Obviously, needs a lot of developing, and we'll have to see with how the Tigers are with developing their high school hitters. But I think from an upside perspective, it's a pretty good pick. And then in the third round, Dylan Smith, another guy. He's been set as more of like a projectable college arm, which it's not that common, but I love this pick actually. Smith seems like someone that can be a pretty good starter. He has a good fastball. He's pretty undersized for his height. I think he could grow into his frame. He's I think lower 90s, but could get up to the mid 90s potentially. And then he also has a good slider, and his secondaries are pretty good in general. So That's a guy I'm interested to see. And then, seeing them take a bunch of pitchers in the draft, I like it because one of the things I've been preaching is, look, you have Mize, Manning, and Scooble at the major league level, and then you have Joey Wentz, and then Alex Vieto, who's hurt right now. But after that, legitimately in this whole farm system, the viewers listening, I would like, I'm curious if you could tell me who the next best prospect is, if you even knew who the guy is. I would say the guy is probably either Cater Montero or Elvin Rodriguez. And if you haven't heard of them, I mean, that's the reason why they took 15, 16 pitchers in this draft. They needed to replenish the farm depth with these pitchers, and that's exactly what they did, and I like them doing that. So I'm not going to grade them because, again, half of these guys I've never even heard of until the draft day, but it seems like a pretty promising class, especially coming off a pretty good last year. But we'll see. Avila hasn't been the best drafter. He's had his moments with Skubal in the ninth round, and he's hit on his first rounders, so we'll see. We'll have to obviously just wait and see. So moving on, last thing I really want to talk about before I get into some questions is I want to talk about Spencer Turnbull and the unfortunate news involving him. So Turnbull has unfortunately gone down. He went with a forearm strain, and then now he has Tommy John. He's going to have to get Tommy John surgery, which will probably keep him out until 2023. It's a huge bummer. Turnbull was looking like our ace. I feel like with Fetter, they were just kind of unlocking. He's had this ton of movement, high spin with his fastball and slider. And people were kind of saying, yeah, Turnbull could be really good. But the thing is, he nibbled a lot. He obviously, the walks were his big problem. And now he was really just, it seemed like the command just took, he improved a grade or two, and he was looking like legitimately a number two, or like a number two. And unfortunately, the injury bug hits him, and he's going to be gone until 2023. So the thing is, I think Turnbull's going to be fine, obviously, but it just makes me pretty mad seeing that in 2019, with Turnbull, they kept pitching him. So the thing was, like, the reason why Mize and Skubal are on innings limits is because they don't want Turnbull's thing to happen. But in 2019, they just kept on pitching him, and he went, like, 150-plus innings. I would have to check to make sure, but he pitched a lot of innings. And, you know, he throws a lot of pitches, too, because he was walking a ton of guys. So, you know, he's working 2-2, 3-2 counts. So, the fact that he was overworked as a rookie has come back to bite him in the ass, and and that happened with Turnbull. I don't think they want them happening with Skubal or Mize too. So that's why those guys are on innings limits, which a lot of fans are frustrated with. I am happy. I am happy that they're keeping their safety and not having them get injured. So it's tough though with Turnbull. I think he'll be fine though in 2023 when he's back. He's going to be like 30 years old, which is kind of crazy to think, but we'll see. I think this also, though, makes it adding a starting pitcher in free agency like a necessity at this point. Currently under contract for next year, the Tigers have they have Boyd, they have Skubal, and they have Mize, and then they have no one else. I mean, they have Matt Manning and Joey Wentz if they want to go with them. Michael Fulmer can pitch, but I think the Tigers would prefer him in the bullpen. So I think adding a starter is going to be a necessity. I kind of went over this idea on my story on my Tigers page, but I think this offseason they should be trying to add a veteran guy. Not necessarily Verlander. Verlander might be too much money. They may not just want Verlander, but you got to get yourself a solid starter. And there's a lot of veteran guys. One guy that comes to mind right now is Charlie Morton. I kind of wanted the Tigers to get Charlie Morton last year, but they didn't, and he went to Atlanta and Tigers, and they really didn't spend it all last year besides Grossman to a semi-decent deal. So I think Charlie Morton makes a lot of sense. He's still a pretty good pitcher. He's like 38 years old. Just sign him to a one-year deal, you know. And then Verlander obviously makes sense too. And then they'll probably add an innings eater. I wouldn't want them to spend a ton on a second starter if they're getting other guys. I'd probably want them to just get, like, you know, your innings eater or whatever. So especially with Manning and then Wentz, as I mentioned, they could come up. So that's just what the ripple effect with the Turnbull injury has had on the team. So anyways, moving on, I'm just going to answer a few questions in the Q&A. I'm going to do this every time. I'll probably add some more stuff eventually. I probably want this to be a little longer. I want to keep it short now, as this is my first podcast. But anyways, we got about five questions to answer. The first one is, who would I buy at the trade deadline? So, and who would I give up? So, obviously, I don't think the Tigers are going to be buyers at the deadline. Perhaps they could add maybe a reliever arm or something, something with a controllable guy, but which, you know, just how passive and unwilling to make a deal and how indecisive Avila in the front office is. I feel like they're going to just stay pat or maybe trade Scope. We'll see. Anyways, one guy I would love to add here, and this is a little generic, but a big name in the trade market is Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo is just he's so underrated. He's legit he's low key a superstar in my opinion. To start off, first of all, he's got crazy power, 70, 80 grade power. He hits nukes and he hits the ball super hard. And I would love that 40 home run power, especially at right field, which is a position of need. I know we have Riley Green coming up, but he could play center or left, and then you got Badu. But I feel like there's just not a sure thing other than Green in the outfield. Badu, I think, can be good. He needs to learn how to hit lefties, and I'm not sure it's him as a center fielder, but getting a controllable guy that you know is going to get on base and perform, that's the thing with Gallo. I know he's a 230 hitter, but batting average, in my opinion, is kind of irrelevant, and he walks 22-25% of the time to make up for it. He has like a 390 on base percentage last time I checked, so I don't see what's not to love about Gallo. A 390 on base guy with incredible defense and right, and he hits tanks. He would easily be a fan favorite, in my opinion. Like, I think it would make so much sense. The fans would love it. And then what would I have to give up? I would have to pay. You're not going to get Joey Gallo without paying, and I think you would have to give up Matt Manning, in my opinion. And the question is, would I do that? Heck yeah, I would. I know Manning, and this is the thing about taking risks. Matt Manning is he's a high school arm that's came up, and he has the potential to be a really good pitcher. But the question is, he's still a prospect. Prospects are currency. I think his value was much higher 2 years ago in 2019 when he was the Double A pitcher of the year. So you could possibly be getting fleeced and giving up a controllable superstar for less years of control with Gallo, or you could be getting a really good player, and Matt Manning doesn't turn out to be all that good. And that's the thing. Do you take the risk? I'm not the decision maker. The decision makers are in Detroit and is in Alavila, but I feel like taking a risk and getting a big name would be a good move with how things have been going. And I think Matt Manning would have to be in the deal. And then additional pieces, I think you'd probably have to add a little more. Maybe not. I would probably I feel like they would, and I'd probably add Isak Paredes into the deal. That's the thing with this farm system. There's not a ton of guys that you can kind of just throw in that look nice, you know? A lot of depth guys, like, for example, with Cleveland, getting, like, a bunch of shortstops that were, like, borderline top 10, you know? The Tigers don't really have that outside of outside of their big core of prospects, like the big six with Dingler, Tor, Green, and then the three pitchers. Outside of that, you really don't have that much. You kind of just go from that to like bench profiles and like reliever arms. So I think Paredes fits kind of it's kind of in between that, and someone that can be pretty good. And I think Texas would like that. Whether they want him at third or second base, I don't really see at second or third base any future pieces for them. So I think that would make a lot of sense, especially it's not really about where they would play. It's about getting value. And I think it would be a sensible trade for both sides. Joey Gallo, it would be a great ad. I would love that. And then another guy I would really like would be German Marquez, another controllable guy. If the Tigers were to buy, they need to get controllable guys, because there was no reason to get a Rensel when this team is going to go 75-87 and not make the playoffs. Like, if we were within playoff reach, I would say why not? But, yeah, we're not right now, so we shouldn't be doing that. So, anyways, the next question is, who is playing first base next year? What I would do if I was the GM personally is I would try to get someone on the market for at least the first couple months until Torque is ready. Torque is obviously the plan, I would assume, at first base. I know they're trying him at third, but I think he'll eventually move over to first. So, yeah, I would probably sign a guy. The best guy in the market is going to be CJ Krohn, but I think he's probably going to get a decent contract. And, again, I don't want to give Krohn a ton of money or a first baseman a ton of money when Torque will probably be ready by June. So some other names. I don't know any off the top of my head, but I believe, like, Mitch Moreland's a free agent. I liked him last offseason. But just, you know, get someone that can, you know, play a few games, start a few games there. And perhaps maybe if you really are serious about contending next year, you just call up Torque right away, which I would not be shocked if they did. But I feel like they'll probably want to wait a little bit. Another idea is Eric Haas at first base. I think I know they tried him and left, and he's been solid, serviceable. But I think with first base would not be the hardest thing for him to learn, and his bat's pretty nice. So if you want him there for a few months until Torque's ready, I think that makes a lot of sense too. I'm actually really curious if the Tigers trade Scope, if they try Haas at first base more, because I actually really want to see, like, I want to see him in the lineup, but he's not the best catcher ever, and you have Jake Rogers, so possibly seeing if he can play first base could benefit him. I don't know if it'll happen in August, in early August, if they trade him, because Rogers is hurt, but maybe down the road in September, you know? So anyways, the third question is, who do I think is the best shortstop of the shortstops in the class? And I think the answer to me is Correa. Story, I like his, he's a good fielder. His bat's a little overrated, in my opinion. Like, he's got a great bat, but it's not amazing. And, I think people are under, belief that it is amazing. So I think he's probably the second best guy. I think Correa is the best. I think he's the most just balanced all around. Be absolutely amazing if we signed him. I don't think we're gonna sign him, but I mean, we can dream. He played with AJ Hinch, so that could help. And I think ultimately for these shortstops it's whoever's gonna throw the biggest bag at them. Perhaps the Tigers could, but AJ Hinch is Chris Illich, he seems to be like a little cheap, so I'm a little concerned that this could be a very underwhelming offseason. So we'll have to wait on that. I also like Corey Seager a lot, and Semien's all right. Javier Baez, not a huge fan. Some underrated guys at short. I really like Chris Taylor. I would probably pay a lot of money for him to come, and maybe even at second, but I really like Chris Taylor. And then Javier Baez, I might have just said, oh yeah, I was talking about him, but Brandon Crawford, solid 1 or 2 year guy, had a crazy career year this year. I don't know what just happened, but he just started mashing. So yeah, if the Tigers strike out on some of the long term guys, maybe at least get a short term guy for a couple years. So anyways, the fourth question, I kind of went over this, but do I think the Tigers will get a starting pitcher like Scherzer or Syndergaard? I don't know about Scherzer. I think a contender is going to come in and sign him, like the Yankees or something. And then Syndergaard would make a lot of sense as a low-risk, high-reward, because I think Syndergaard's going to go to somewhere on a one-year deal. I think that makes a lot of sense for him since he's coming off the injury. Pitch for 1 year, prove yourself, and then get a good contract on the open market. That's how I would play it if I was him. So perhaps Detroit, where you know he's going to get innings, where you have two spots in the rotation, he could come in and pitch. I feel like the Mets are going to try to get him back. I think there's probably going to be a good amount of interest, but I think that would make a lot. I think it would be a very good match for the Tigers and Syndergaard. I was pretty high on Corey Kluber last offseason, wanted the Tigers to get him, and he was looking pretty good before he went down with the injury, which is kind of unfortunate. But I think Syndergaard would be nice. So anyways, the last question we have, and I'm going to end this, is what do I think the starting lineup will be on the last game of the season? So I like this question a lot because, I mean, if you look at the opening day lineup, half the guys are not even there. Ramos is gone. I know Nunez wasn't at the very start, but he came up pretty shortly. He's gone. Victor Reyes is basically gone if there was not a bunch of if Daz Cameron wasn't hurt and Nomar Mazara. I'm glad he's gone. And then Jacoby Jones is gone. Like, all these guys are gone. And so there'd probably be some more movement. So anyways, catcher, I think it's kind of obvious. Jake Rogers is going to be the guy. Jake Rogers and Eric Haas, obviously. First base, I'm going to go under the assumption that Scope does get traded. So first base, I'll say Miggy gets to start the last game. I don't think he's not going to go anywhere. He's kind of been pretty bad this year, but I mean, just let him live, you know. Second base, I'll probably say Isak Paredes. I think he's going to get a shot there. If you look at his numbers, he's actually got like a pretty decent slash line. He's got like a 750 OPS right now, which is pretty surprising because he seems like he's been terrible. Third base, you got Jamer. I think that's a pretty good given. Shortstop, I'm going to say Zach Short. I don't see anyone else really taking a spot, giving him much of competition. Maybe Nico Goodrum gets to start the last day, but shortstop is going to be fixed. It's going to be replaced. Left field, I think the guy is going to be Grossman. I don't think Grossman is going anywhere, as I mentioned earlier. And then center fielder, I'll say Akil Badu gets to start the last game of the year in center. I don't think he's ultimately a center fielder, but I think he can play center field, and he will. And then right field, I think it's one of the two guys between Daz Cameron or Derek Hill. I mean, if Derek Hill was starting, he'd be in center. So I'll say Daz Cameron, and then Derek Hill will come in and pinch run later in the game. So I hope you enjoyed this. This podcast does not have a name yet. I'm working on finding a good name that isn't corny, but I hope you guys enjoy this. I'm probably going to do this once every week or every 2 weeks or so. Depends how much traction this gets. So if you ever want to talk to me, ask Talk Some Tigers. I'm totally down to just DM my page, tigers.news_ on Instagram. I'll probably link it somehow. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I'm probably going to be doing some more. And have a good day. Peace.